The big question is, how does someone with MS actually improve their mobility, strength, energy, independence? The list goes on. My name is Dr. Gretchen Hawley, physical therapist and multiple sclerosis specialist. Welcome to the Missing Link podcast. Tune in as I share the top strategies and exercises to help you gain control over your life with MS using research-driven insights and advice from top industry experts. Whether you're newly diagnosed or have had MS for over 30 years, whether you have relapsing MS or progressive MS, this podcast is for you. You're sure to feel empowered and inspired after each episode. Ready? Let's dive in. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in today. I am going to be reviewing how to prepare for your physical therapy visit. And the reason this is so important is because being prepared can truly make or break your experience with physical therapy. The more knowledge you come with and the more you know what to expect, the better your treatment plan will be. Therefore, you'll get more accurate exercises of how to best help you and your symptoms and your goals that you're working towards. So ideally, you're working with a physical therapist who is also a certified MS specialist like myself. However, there are very few of us that exist. The next best physical therapist to see would be a neuro-certified specialist. And then the next best after that, if there's no one near you who is a neuro-certified specialist, would be your traditional orthopedic physical therapist who has experience treating people with neurological diseases and disorders. But let's go ahead and dive in. I'm first going to explain what you can expect in terms of what will happen, what will the evaluation look like, what questions will you be asked, and then we're going to dive a little bit further into what information you should be providing so that you get the best treatment plan for you, your symptoms, and your goals. And the reason I think this is such an important episode is because 9 times out of 10, when I had a new client with MS come to me in the PT clinic, I would ask them a bunch of the questions that we're going to review today, and they wouldn't have an answer, or they just didn't know that they had that symptom. They didn't think to mention it. And the fewer answers you have, the less likely it is that your plan will be an ideal one, your treatment plan. And more times than not, you do have the answers, but it does take some time to think about it. It's not just an answer that you'd have off the top of your head. So hopefully by listening to this episode, you'll understand what questions might be asked of you so that you have an answer when they ask you versus just saying, oh, I don't know, that doesn't happen to me, or just guessing a random number of how many times you've fallen or if this or that happens. So let's first start off with exactly what is going to happen during a physical therapy examination. And for starters, one thing that is important but is also required by insurance companies are functional outcome measures. And some of these are written, meaning you might sign in to your appointment saying that you're here. They'll sit you in the waiting room. You'll fill out a bunch of paperwork. And some of that paperwork might be questions that ask you about symptoms that you have. My favorite functional outcome measures that are subjective, meaning it's more of a questionnaire style, are the Modified Fatigue Impact Scale, where you will be asked 21 questions about your fatigue. And my other favorite one is the MSWS-12. It stands for the Multiple Sclerosis Walking Scale 12. And that's going to ask you 12 questions about your walking. So just knowing that alone, that when you come to your appointment, you're going to have to fill out paperwork like that, especially if they are an MS specialist, they will know that those are two of the best tests for those with MS. It's helpful to know that you're going to have to answer that information early on. If you are someone who gets fatigued quickly, specifically mentally or cognitively fatigued, get there early because that is just the beginning. That's just some of the paperwork. Then once you're called back, you're going to have to answer a ton more questions and do some more things. So keep your cognitive capacity and fatigue or energy in mind as you're planning that day. Once you have filled out the paperwork and the PT is ready for you, they will bring you back to hopefully an individual room where it's just you and the physical therapist. And they're going to ask a bunch of questions, which I'm actually going to get to in the second part of this. Before we get there, I want to just share with you some tests that they might do. And perhaps what's most important to mention first is what you should wear. Because if you are wearing an outfit that doesn't allow us to see body parts like your knees, your ankles, if you're wearing really tight pants or jeans that really restrict movement, then we're not going to get an accurate evaluation of how your body is moving. So I always suggest wearing shorts if possible. And if it's cold where you are, you can bundle up on your way there, but then try to take off any extra layers that you don't need for the session. Wearing shorts and a t-shirt or a tank top allows us to see the most body parts and make sure they're comfortable. I don't know if these are really in style anymore, but I wouldn't wear jean shorts because those are not going to allow your hips to move as well as if you were wearing more spandex or comfortable type shorts. So just keep that in mind. We want to be able to see most joints and body parts, and we want to be able to move most joints and body parts. We want to be able to move your hips, move your knees, move your torso to see how your body is moving. And those would be the best clothes to wear typically. Now, if you don't have those, that's fine, but you really want to wear something that is looser so that we can roll up your pants or roll up the sleeves of your shirt. So wearing something that's looser will allow that to happen easier. From there, every physical therapist is different in terms of what they're going to look at first. But generally speaking, we're going to be looking at what strength you have. So looking at the strength in your hips, your knees, your ankle, your shoulders, elbows, wrists, fingers, grip, you name it. We do an overall comprehensive scoring for how strong you are. We're also going to look at what your balance is like and balance in multiple different positions, not just standing with your feet together or standing on a foam pad. The more functional balance positions are ones where you'll be balancing in a staggered stance with one foot forward, one foot back, and then switch sides, maybe even standing in that stance while turning your head. So be prepared to work on a little bit of balance during the evaluation. Proprioception is also something we will look for. So this might be something like touch your finger to my finger and then touch your nose and go back and forth between my finger and my nose. Do you have the coordination to do that or the proprioception to do that? That's going to play a big role in how we move our body. Another example, but using our feet, might be, can you tap your feet? Can you lift your toes up and then down and quickly tap your toes on the floor? Or can you tap your heel to your opposite shin, then back to the floor? So some of these do require strength as well, and you might be limited specifically due to strength, not because your proprioception or coordination is off. So if that's the case, making sure to mention that verbally to your PT as well. We will also be looking at your range of motion. The range of motion is more so related to how your joints are moving versus how your muscles are moving, where we want to see how your joint moves. Is it fluid? Is there any restriction? Because sometimes limitations in mobility are not due to weakness or poor balance. It's because you don't have the flexibility inside the actual joint itself, not the muscle, the joint. So we want to look at range of motion. We're for sure going to look at your walking, especially if you have goals of improving your walking. We'll probably have you walk a few times with or without a mobility aid, with or without any device like the walk aid or Bioness or dictaspan for foot drop or AFO. So it might vary depending on the PT that you're working with, but we want to see how you walk. And we're going to be looking for specific things that are happening. What are your hips doing when you walk? What are your knees doing? What are your heels doing and your toes doing? What is your torso doing? Are you swaying at all? So there's lots of different things that we're looking at when you're walking. Try your best not to overthink it. We're just trying to pick apart tiny pieces of your walking that might help us determine the best exercises for you. I know that sometimes hearing that we're analyzing your walking can be terrifying, and it makes you perform worse because you know someone is watching you intently. But knowing that this is going to happen hopefully can ease your mind a bit. And then when you're there, you can relax and feel calm about it. We also are going to look for muscle tightness and spasticity in a few different areas, likely your upper body, such as your elbow and your shoulder, and then also your lower body, like your quads, your knees, your ankles. Spasticity plays a big role in limiting movement, especially when we're talking about walking and stair climbing and getting in and out of bed, these day-to-day motions. So we want to look at what your strength is like in your balance, but also how tight are your muscles and does spasticity exist or not? Muscle tightness is not the same thing as spasticity. So we look for both in slightly different ways. When we are looking for muscle tightness, we're more so looking at how flexible the muscle is in a stretched position. Whereas when we're looking for spasticity, we usually are quickly moving your leg to determine your leg's response. If I quickly try to straighten your leg, does it let me? Am I able to quickly straighten it? Or is there resistance? And I feel like there's something pushing back against me. That is more in alignment with spasticity. And there are a few other tests that we would do as well, but those are some of the big ones that you can expect to physically do during your physical therapy session. And this will occur during the evaluation day and re-evaluation days. Now, one thing I mentioned in the beginning was these questionnaires that you'd have to fill out. Those are subjective functional outcome measures, but there are also objective functional outcome measures, which are more measurable timed tests. So these are ones you also do at your neurologist's office, like the 9-hole peg test, or in the case of physical therapy, the 25-foot walk test, or the 2-minute walk test. So those are tests that you are timed on as you are doing a walking-based activity. So there's a few of those that you might do on your first evaluation day and the reevaluation day, one being the timed 25-foot walk test. Another popular one that is really great, proven in research to help with MS, is the timed up and go, also called the TUG. You might do the 6-minute walk test or the 2-minute walk test. You might do the 30-second sit to stand or the 5-time sit to stand. So there's several different options. There's also ones like the Berg balance test, the functional gait index. You don't need to know what these are, but what you do need to know is that they are walking tests and you might be fatigued at this point. At this point, you not only might be cognitively fatigued because of everything that you had to fill out in the beginning before you even saw the PT, but then they've also tested your strength, your balance, your walking, your coordination, and now doing these tests. This can be a very fatiguing day. So please speak up to your physical therapist if you feel like you need a break. And one thing that they might have to do is split up some of these tests. They might have to finish your evaluation, at least the note and the documents, on day 2 because you don't have the energy on day 1. And it's important that you request that because they might not be used to that, especially if they are not an MS certified specialist. And if they are not a neurocertified specialist, they might not understand that this is very fatiguing for you. So just pay attention to how you're feeling. Don't be afraid or shy away from saying, hey, can I just take a few minutes to rest here for a second before we continue? Okay, so now I want to dive into what questions you might be asked, because again, If you don't know these in advance, then sometimes and oftentimes you're caught off guard and you won't have an answer, or you're just going to give your best guess and it's not actually an accurate number or an accurate statement. So I just wanted to throw out some of the ones that are most common. So for starters, mentioning any invisible symptoms that you have that may or may not be related to your goals. For example, fatigue, I've mentioned a few times now because the first day can be very fatiguing, but fatigue can be a big one. Do you experience fatigue? Sensation is another one, especially sensation in your feet or your hands. Are you unable to feel the ground on one or both feet as much as what you used to be able to? What about pain? They'll probably ask you about pain. Do you have pain in any specific area, or is it overall pain? Is it in multiple areas? What level is your pain at? Do you have heat intolerance or cold intolerance? Heat intolerance is a really, really important one for physical therapists to know, because when you are exercising, you might get overheated. Your core temperature might rise. And if that happens, one or multiple symptoms can worsen. Could be slightly, it could be severely, or anywhere in between. But knowing that you have heat intolerance should indicate to us that we might want to have you wear a cooling vest during your PT sessions or some type of cooling product. How's your vision? Does your vision impact your walking? So these invisible symptoms are equally as important to mention as your more physical, visible symptoms like weakness or poor balance or walking. Those are things that we can see, which is helpful, but it's so important to know what these invisible symptoms are. And depending on the therapist you're working with, they might not think to ask you these things, especially if they are not an MS specialist or a neurocertified specialist. So making sure that you have these on the tip of your tongue to let them know. If you're working on improving your walking, but you don't have great sensation in one or both of your feet, we could do all the balance exercises we want and all the strengthening and all the walking exercises we want, but your walking would still likely not improve that much, or it would improve to a certain point, but then you'd hit a plateau and it doesn't get any better. And the reason is because sensation. And we didn't even know that it existed because it wasn't mentioned. So sensation, pain, fatigue, heat intolerance, vision, any invisible symptoms that you have are worth mentioning. In addition to any other symptom, let them know all of your symptoms. There is no shame in just giving us a big list, because what we'll do with it, especially if you're a PT who cares, which most of us are, is we might not be able to get through all of those symptoms on that day in that first session, but they are things that we can always go back to. So if we are hitting any roadblocks anywhere, if you are improving, but only to a certain point and we're having a hard time improving past that, we can go back to this list and say, okay, what things from this list might be preventing us from moving forward with this specific goal? And it might change our approach a bit. Now, some other questions that you might be asked, in addition to what are your symptoms, what are your pain levels, fatigue levels, et cetera, are how many times have you fallen? And one way that I like to ask this with my clients is, how many times have you fallen or had a near fall in the last 6 months? And this is important because near falls is when you almost fell, but you didn't. You caught yourself on something or someone, or by taking a step forward or to the side. And near falls can be just as indicative of future falls as actual falls are. So if they don't ask you that, I do think it's important for you to say, in the last 6 months or in the last year, I've had 2 falls and I have a near fall about once every 2 weeks or once a week, or, you know, giving some type of measurable information on how many times you've fallen and had a near fall. Another important thing for you to mention is, what have you already tried that has worked and also that hasn't worked for you and your symptoms and your goals? Have you tried exercise before? If so, did it help or not? If it did help, great. What exercises did you do that you felt helped? If it didn't help, that's also really important. What exercises did you do that you feel didn't help? If you've gone to acupuncture, if you've tried massage, if you've tried personal training, not physical therapy, if you've tried exercising on your own, but what that meant was just walking or just swimming, you know, doing a specific type of exercise, maybe a yoga class or a Pilates class, knowing what you've tried and what has helped and hasn't helped can allow us to pick apart what might be the most beneficial for you. Because let's face it, you don't want to waste time doing exercises you've done before that didn't help. And we don't want to waste your time either. We want to get to the most effective exercises as quickly as possible. So knowing what you've done and what has helped and hasn't helped is extremely important in that. Now, this final piece of information that I want to share and guidance that I want to give you, I think is some of the most important. And it boils down to the goal setting portion of the first day and of your reevaluation days. And the whole point of goal setting, as it says in its name, is to set goals that are appropriate for you. And there's two different types of goals that we will set as physical therapists. Whether we say these to you out loud or not, we set functional goals and clinical goals, because insurance companies often like to see clinical measurements, such as strength in the right hip flexor will be a 4+ out of a 5 by this date, or within 4 weeks, or within 8 weeks, etc. Whereas that same goal, but with a more functional twist, might be that you'll be able to get out of your car without lifting your leg with your hands within 8 weeks. Same thing. You need to use your hip flexors for that, but it's more of a functional goal versus a clinical goal. So when it comes to goal setting, the most important thing you can do is, in advance of that session, think about what things are challenging for you to do. Or another way you can think of it is, what things are more challenging than you'd like it to be? Because sometimes when I ask people what's challenging, they'll say, oh, you know, a few things, but it's fine. You know, I don't want to complain. It's not that bad. I do want you to let me know exactly what is going on, what things are just a little bit harder than you want them to be. And you're not a complainer for sharing all these things. It gives me really specific information so that I can come up with better exercises for you. So what are things that are hard for you to do or more challenging than you want them to be? And go through your entire day. Think about, from the moment you wake up, what do you do and how does your day progress? Is getting out of bed tricky for you? What about the first few steps that you take? What about getting dressed, brushing your teeth, showering, making your breakfast, walking in the morning versus walking in the afternoon versus walking in the evening, just in your home or outdoors, out in the community, out at work? Is getting into and out of your car challenging? Is going up or downstairs challenging? Is standing up from low surfaces hard, like maybe the couch because it's squishy, or the toilet if you have a lower toilet? Is that challenging? What about standing up from the floor? What about specific activities like doing the laundry or loading or unloading the dishwasher or bending down to pick up the dog food bowl? Get really specific, really nitpicky. Think about everything that you need to do. Again, because the more you give us, the more specific the exercises can be. And oftentimes, one exercise or a group of exercises will not only improve one goal, but likely there will be carryover where it will improve other goals as well. For example, some of my favorite walking exercises will help improve your walking just as much as they'll help improve stair climbing and maybe even balance while moving or stepping up on a curb. Exercises that will help improve lifting your leg will help you with walking and stair climbing and getting out of bed and getting out of your car or into your car. So there is some overlap. Don't feel like the more goals you mention or the more things that are challenging, each one's going to have their whole list of exercises fortunately, that's not the case. There is some carryover. And my point with goal setting is the more specific you can be, the better. Even with something like walking, I just mentioned as my example is how is walking in the morning versus the afternoon versus the evening, but we could get even more specific. What about walking is challenging? Is it the lifting of your leg? Is it the shifting of your body weight forward? Is it the bending of your knee? Is it the balance on one leg? Is it all of it? It's okay if it's all of it. Same with stair climbing. What about stair climbing? Are you pulling up with your arm using, or both arms, using 50 to 100% of your arm strength? Is it challenging to bend your knee? Are you hitting the step? Is it the balance? What is it? And you might not know. You might not have an answer, in which case that is my job and the physical therapist's job to evaluate, but it's at least a good start if you do have somewhat of an idea, or at least give us that goal as an example of something you'd like to work towards. So this was all just a quick rundown of what you can expect at a physical therapy evaluation day and reevaluation day, and giving you some heads up and pointers and tips of what information you should bring with you. Because as I mentioned earlier, at the end of the day, you don't want to waste your time. We don't want to waste your time. We want you to get better as quickly as possible, whatever that looks like for you. Getting better might mean improving your walking. And even though you might be using a rollator, you're tripping less, or your balance is better. Or maybe you're not using a rollator anymore, but you're using trekking poles or a cane. Or getting better for you might mean you have less pain, less fatigue. Your legs are stronger, so you're able to stand up better. You're able to walk on uneven surfaces. There's so many things physical therapy can help you with, and getting the right treatment plan all starts with the information that you bring and the information that we gather as physical therapists on that first day and then reevaluation days as well. So I hope you found this helpful. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to today's show. I am so grateful to have you as a listener. If you'd like extra resources, such as a video of one of my seated exercise classes, my favorite core exercises, and the opportunity to ask me your questions, head to missinglink.com/insider. That link will be shared in the show notes, along with links to my social media handles. If you loved this episode and think a friend or family member with MS would benefit from listening, please go ahead and text or email this podcast to them right now. Sharing this podcast will help me educate and empower as many MS warriors as possible. Thanks again for joining, and be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the Missing Link Podcast.